I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, we are in our series entitled Pray First, Go with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse. And we're in our series entitled Pray First. Everybody say, pray first. And that is what we have been talking about, that no matter what comes, and no matter what goes, and no matter what the situation is, no matter what the obstacle is, we should always pray first. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse, it says, rejoice how often, class? Always. So rejoice always. It didn't say rejoice if everything is going your way. It didn't say rejoice if it's payday, although we all rejoice on payday. But it says rejoice always. And then it doesn't stop there. He says pray continually. In the New Living Translation, it says never stop praying. It says give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you're reading from the KJV, it says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so the Bible is teaching us, and the Bible is clear, that we are to always pray. We are to always pray and not faint. No matter what comes, we should always pray. On last week, we said that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. That it should be our first response and not our last resort. I don't know about you, but I, you know, maybe just because we got into this series, but I've just been on it. Like every time I take a phone call, every time I've had a meeting, every time I do anything. Well, actually, there was like 2 times I didn't. I should have, praise the Lord, but that's another story for another time. Amen. I should have prayed first. You got it? And so, you know, you need a pastor that's going to be honest with you, then, right? Yeah, I got frustrated about something, and after I got frustrated, the Holy Spirit said, well, if you prayed first about it, you probably wouldn't have been frustrated. So what you going to say? Yes, Lord. You got it. But it's so true. We have to have this consciousness that we should always pray first about absolutely everything, all right? We did this last week. We're going to do it again. Everybody say, pray first. Pray first. So before the day begins, before I go to bed, before I go to work, before you go to school, you should. Before you send that text, you should. Before you eat, you should. Before you travel, you should. When bad things happen, you should. Before bad things happen, you should. In every situation, we should do what, class? In every situation, you should pray first. In every situation, you should invite God into your life, into your situation. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, you've got to pray first. To the degree that you pray first, your response will be the right response. You got it. Your response will be the right response. And so we've been talking about this, and prayer is communication with God, or communion with God, same thing, and confrontation with the devil. That is what prayer is. Prayer is communion with God. It's communication with God, and it's confrontation with the devil. It's me spending time with the Father, but me also making some declarations and letting the devil know these are some things that I'm going to have, and these are some things that I'm not going to allow to happen in my life. You got it? And prayer is so vitally important. Our church values prayer. We are a praying church. We have a group that prays, a prayer team that prays before every service for this service. We pray every Monday through Friday on the prayer line. You got it? And you just have to understand that for a believer, that has to be a part of your life, that you have to always, always, always pray. Jesus said that we should always pray and not give up. I know it says not faint, but that's what it means, not give up. And so, because, you know, to the degree that I pray, I won't give up. To the degree I pray, I won't faint. Isn't that right? And I'm excited about the beginning of January. We talked a little bit about it last week. But the 1st through the 21st, we're going to have a time of fasting and prayer. I'll give you more, as it gets a little closer. I know it's getting pretty close. And, don't get concerned. Don't get worried. You got it. Don't let your knees have fellowship with each other. You're going to be able to do the 21 days of fasting. You got it. We're going to take it 7 days at a time. We're going to fast 7 days from this. Then we're going to fast 7 days from that. Then we're going to fast 7 days from that. You got it. at it. And so so it's going to be good. Everybody's going to be able to do it throughout the course of next year. We're going to have some times when we come as a family and pray on Saturdays. I'm super, super, super excited about that. I know God told me to do that. You got it? And so, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love technology. God knows I'm thankful that we can all get on the line every Monday through Friday. That'll never change. You understand? But because he instructed me after he did, I was like, man, I'm excited about coming here on some Saturdays. You got it? And doing what you got to do. All right? And so, anyways, we're going to, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we have a prayer guide. You know how we have a confession book, right? We also have an additional prayer guide that we have made. It's first class. I'm going to show it to you in a little while. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it because it's in my lesson. So I'm going to talk to you about it that we have designed just for you as you begin your your first 21 days of prayer and fasting. But the good thing is it's not just for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. You'll be able to continue after that. And so anyways, it's already been approved. The printer is already doing it. You got it. Everything we do here is first class. So when you get it, you're going to be like, ooh, I like that. You got it. And so it's going to be really, really good. All right. Go with me to Luke, the 18th chapter and the first verse. Let's really get into this lesson. That was just a lot of introduction. Luke 18:1. How many know that prayer is to be a lifestyle? Prayer is to be a lifestyle. Everybody say prayer is to be a lifestyle. That means that I pray always. I pray always. Luke 18:1. And he talking about Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought to do what class? Always. It says always to pray and not to faint. And so it is the will of God that I'll always, always, always pray. I can't stress it enough because I really believe that believers don't pray enough. You got it? And I'm not being mean. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just telling the truth. And you got it? And all of us, including the pastor, hello somebody, can let that happen to them. You go through a day. You know, you got up, you prayed in the morning, that's good. Then you got all the, you're so busy, you got this and this and this and this, not realizing that some of that stuff will go a lot smoother if you pray along the way. Does that make sense? John the 15th chapter in the 4th verse says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. How many know that's the truth? It must remain in the vine, all right? He's the vine, we're the branches. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, Jesus says. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Watch this. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear not just fruit, but he says you'll bear much fruit, all right? He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we've got to understand that it's vitally important that we understand that apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. Let me just say it again. Apart from Jesus, I can't do anything. I can't do it on my own. You got it? You can't do it on your own. And you have to have, you know, a consciousness that I need Jesus, that I need the Father, that I need the Holy Spirit, that I need to have communion with them, that I need to be talking to him, not some of the time, but I need to be talking to him all of the time. Does that make sense? All right. So let's kind of talk about this lifestyle prayer. Three things I want to talk to you about when it comes to lifestyle prayer. Three things that you need. The first thing I want to talk about is you developing a certain time. Everybody say certain time. Yeah, you developing a certain time. And I think that is vitally important that we have that. Daniel, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Daniel, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done when? Before, right? So, of course, we just got out of the book of Daniel, so we actually know what's going on in this time. This time, he was not allowed to pray to his God. That was the decree that had been put out. And so the Bible says that didn't shake him. You got it? There was a certain time that Daniel had always done it, and he had continued to do it. Now, I'm not real legalistic when it comes to certain time. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for me, you know, when my schedule allows, which most of the time it does, I like to pray in the morning. Like, I'm going to pray in the morning anyways. You got it? It just depends on which prayer I'm going to pray. What do you mean? Like, there's regimens that I have that are going to take me 30 or 40 minutes. You got it? Compared to when I just get up for 10 or 15 minutes and just pray. You got it? So I can move about my day. Does that make sense? But I think that it's vitally important. Some of you say, no, I can't have a certain time in the morning, you know, where I give 30 or 45 minutes because I have to be to work at 4 a.m. Okay, no problem. Then you might need to make your time, you know, in the evening. You understand what I'm saying? However, you should pray whenever you wake up in the morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Father, I thank you that today's going to be a day of joy, peace. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to still command your morning and to declare what your day is going to be like. And so that's why I said I'm not real legalistic about it. So everybody say certain time. All right. Next thing, let's talk about certain place. Everybody say certain place. All right, Mark, the first chapter and the 35th verse in the NIV says very early in the morning. All right, some of y'all like very early. A lot of you all don't. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. How many know that's real early? Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So he had a certain place. Everybody has a different place. You understand what I'm saying? Mine is I go upstairs, I go into my office. To me, that is the most peaceful place. That's where I study. That's where I pray. When I pray, I like to walk and pray. It doesn't matter if you kneel. It doesn't matter if you stand. It doesn't matter if you sit in a chair. It doesn't matter if you walk and pace like I do. You got it? Jesus does not tell us that there's a certain way we have to pray when it comes to that. Now, we understand different postures of prayer. You got it? And there's a lot of different ones. But I'm just saying, so that's why I say I don't get real legalistic. Like, you know, okay, without limits, if y'all going to pray, you have to be on your knees. That's not true because I walk the floor and I feel like the more I walk, you got it? Then, you know, the more I feel his presence. You understand what I'm saying? So it's really what kind of works for you. And so certain time, certain place. All right. Now, this is the one I really want to talk about. Everybody say certain plan. Certain plan. All right. So certain time, certain place, certain plan. Luke, the 11th chapter and the first verse. Luke, the 11th chapter and the first verse. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Verse 2, Jesus said, this is how you should pray. And if you remember, we talked about this last week, and we talked about the Lord's Prayer and how it is to be more of a model prayer and really an outline. You got it? Because, you know, not trying to be funny, that's a good prayer to pray, but, you know, that is not all I'm going to pray. That'll take me all 30 seconds to pray, and I'm going to be done. You got it? And so really, I'm teaching you my lesson, but I also want to show you some practical things, even some things that I do to help give you an understanding, because I want to make prayer for you easy. I want to make prayer for you fun. You got it? Because a lot of people, prayer is a struggle and it shouldn't be. You got it? If you remember on last week, I said you know, we go from desire to discipline. From desire to discipline to delight. You have to have a desire to pray. And even after you have a desire to pray, you know, it'll be like being in your heart. You'll wake up, right? Like you're just getting up. You still got to go brush your teeth, you know, and you do all those things. You understand what I'm saying? You got, or at least I do. Like I don't go to God with bad breath. That's just me. I got something personal with that. You got it? But anyways, I'm talking about my time of prayer. Okay, y'all just don't. I'm not really bothering with y'all right now about that. And so anyways, you got it. I'm going to get myself together. And as I'm getting myself together, doing my morning hygiene, my military understand that. So I'm doing my morning hygiene. And then all of a sudden, something says, hey, you got to pray. So that's desire. Everybody say desire. But watch this. Watch this. Even after there's desire, watch this. Your mind starts thinking, hey, but you also got to do this. And you also got to do that. And you also got to do that. You got it. And so what happens is you have to have the discipline to go behind the desire. You got it. And so even though, I got to take the kids. So I take the kids, I drop them off, pray with them. You know, after I pray with them, the card that we give you guys, that's the prayer that we pray. Let me have a good day at school. Keep me safe. Help me to do good on all my work and tests. Help me to focus and understand everything my teacher teaches me. I thank you for favor with my principals, my teachers, and all the students in Jesus' name. Like that prayer we give you, we pray that all every day. You got it. My kids pray every day. Well, almost every day. I say out of the whole school year, we may have missed one or two. I drove like, oh man, we forgot to pray. And so then what do? I cover them in prayer. You got it? And then, you know, and then when they get out of the car, I have my own prayer. I pray for them. because that's their prayer that they need to pray. But then I have my prayer. You got, Lord, help them to be a leader and not a follower. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and that one kid that's been hanging around my child, Lord, help them to be divided in Jesus' name. You understand? Because there's some kids that just don't need to be around my kids. You understand? You know, and so, you know, but prayer is vitally, vitally, vitally important. So you have to have a certain time, a certain place, and a certain plan. So we talked about that last week, and as it relates to the Lord's Prayer and kind of how we have to connect with the Father relationally, and we kind of went through all those things. I want to talk to you just a little bit more about that. I'm going to kind of explain to you kind of how I pray. When I pray, there are typically two things that I use, about to be three things that I use that are really, really helpful and important for me. Does anybody know what this is? Yeah, that's our confession on the go book. You got it? These are in the back. I think they cost, $4 or $5 a piece. You got it? And, we're not trying to pay the light bill with it. We're just trying to make sure that we pay for the book. Praise the Lord. And so in this book, and the funny thing is I don't really flip through this book as much as I used to, because really I've gotten a lot of these confessions in my heart. You got to my favorite confession, just a lot of those things, a confession of authority. Those, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm not conquered, but I'm more than a conqueror. My faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I'm the head and not the tail. That's all in the book, but it's in my heart. Because the more you pray, and the more you pray, and the more you pray, you got it. It'll come from your head. It'll get into your heart, and you got it. But look, we have prayer over our pastors, confession of unity, confession of favor, confession of authority, confession of healing, confession of blessing, confession over debt freedom, confession of increase, confession when you're fasting, confession for singles, confession for husbands, confession for wives, confession for when you're childbearing, confession over your children after they're here. You got it. Declaration of faith, increase scriptures, healing scriptures, and then I wrote this WLCC regimen in the very back. I ask our members to pray this absolutely every single day. It's a prayer regimen in the back. Number one is church growth. Number two is church family. Number three is our ministry volunteers. You know, I always pray. I prayed for our dream team this morning that they would come to church early, prayed up with a good attitude. And if you read this in the back, then that didn't sound foreign to you. But that sounded foreign to you if you don't read this. Because that's what is something we always say. All of our dream team, they come to church early. They come prayed up and with a good attitude. You got it? And so, number four, the budget for the ministry and the prayer over our pastors. And so this is really, really good. This is good for if you're just getting saved and you need to learn how to pray, or if you've been saved for 20 years and you want to just confess the word. And in the early days before I knew all these, I would just, take these confessions and I would just hold them like this, and I'd walk through my room and I'd just pray them like this. You got it? Your word says that children are a blessing for you and the fruit of your womb is their reward. I appreciate the reward of my children, and I thank you that I have the wisdom to raise them and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are revealing to me your plan and purpose for each of their lives so I can provide a clear direction for them. I'm praying the word, and I'm praying what I want. When you pray, you have to pray the word, and you have to pray what you want. Too many times, people are just a hoping and a praying that something might happen. You got it? And so my thing is this. You have to pray. You have to be specific when you pray. You got it? You know, you just can't, all my single ladies, you got it. You want a man. You know, you just can't pray for a man. Just God, just give me a man. Oh, you better not pray that. You got it? Praise the Lord. I'm just going to leave that all alone. You got it? No, you got to pray for a man. But you got to pray for the man that, that you want. You got it? Yeah. What was it? I was doing my lesson. I was typing this up. And I was thinking about Lady LeConte, because some women pray for, tall, dark, and handsome. You got it? I imagine that that she prayed for short, handsome, and rich. That's what she got. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Some of y'all didn't get it. Who got it now? Y'all got it, right? Okay. All right, y'all got it. All right, praise the Lord. All right. And so I pray that. Now I have also developed my own prayer regimen that I pray. This is personal to me and my family. All of my family All of their names are in this regiment. There are some of them that are believing for specific things, so I put them in there. You got it? Some of them, they told me they're believing for specific things. Some of them, just because they're from my family, I know what they got going on. Well, not everything, but, you know, overall, we know what each other have going on. And as you can see, I've got about three or four pages, and I pray this. You got it? And I'll just I'll kind of give you an outline, and I pray kind of what we call a tabernacle prayer. Kind of, sort of. I'm going to explain it to you in just a few minutes. I'm really going to show it to you on Tuesday night. But, the tabernacle was the mobile church for the children of Israel. You got it? And you know, because they were moving from one place to one place, so it was a mobile church. So you had the outer court, you know, you had the inner court, you had the most holy. And that is how we are really to pray. The writer says, you know, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's really the outer court. And that is why you should start your prayer. And so, like, in my prayer, like, I have prayed the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what I do. The first thing I do when I start praying, are y'all okay with me just showing y'all this? Okay, I got a lot of stuff to teach, but it's important to me for me to show this to you. So I pray the prayer of thanksgiving. And so I always start any prayer. This is just me. I always say, Father, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You understand? And I be just getting to thank him for his goodness. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his loving kindness. I declare that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, there's no telling where I would be. I thank him that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, my provider. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's my God of peace. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's my banner of victory. You got it? He's Jehovah Rophika. He is the Lord, thy God, that healeth me. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm declaring who he is. Now, a little bit later, I'm going to get more specific, because I have specific things that I pray over my body and over Lakante's body, over my children and my family. You got it? And then that's for my family. And then there's a part in here when I get to my church family. And then I pray some of that same thing for you. I pray for your health. I pray for your marriage. I pray for your finances. I pray for your peace. You understand what I'm saying? I pray for a lot of things, you know, for your life. And then I've got all these different scripts. When you see yellow, The yellows are the scriptures. So I have, you know, scriptures that I pray. You know, the first one I always pray, Father, I thank you. This is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us, you know, and not only do you hear us, but you grant the petition. So I'm moving in, coming boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that my Father wants to connect with me. He wants to talk to me. You understand what I'm saying? And whatever I pray is not just hitting the ceiling and coming back down, but it's reaching heaven. God hears it, and he's going to answer my prayer. Does that make sense? And so in my prayer regimen, you know, I pray for my marriage. You got it? I pray for Jay and Hannah. You know, when I pray for my marriage, and then, you know, oh, man, I pray for several things. Okay, like, let me, and I wrote all this on my own. And so, you can do it too. Well, Pastor, what do? You sit down and you write what you want as long as it's according to the word. That is all it is. So, like, you know, I mean, one day, long time ago, I just sat down and said, Father, I thank you that Lakante and I are in complete agreement and unity, that we work together as a team and we're an unstoppable force, that we don't fuss, bicker, argue, that there's an incredible level of trust that we have for one another, that we will be married together until Jesus returns, that there is no strife, envy in our relationship, and that we are truly in love, that there is no lack or shortages, that we walk in the overflow. And then a little bit later, you know, I pray for wisdom for my life. And then I pray for wisdom, you know, to be the best husband I can be, that I bring warmth, nurture, protection, and security to Kante. I will shine on her as the sun shines on the earth. I commit to change whatever needs to be changed in order for me to be a better husband. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm praying that consistently, and because I'm praying that consistently, it's in my heart. You understand? Because whatever you pray over and over and over and over and over, you begin to have a desire to live up to what you pray. That's why I tell people, even if you don't feel like it, pray it. Because it's the word. You got it? You have, you know, marriages that, you know, aren't going as good as they want them to. You know, I don't want to pray for my wife right now. You better. You know, I don't need to pray for my husband. I got my own stuff to pray for. No, you better pray for your husband. You understand? I'm serious. Because really, if you go to prayer, you know, with the attitude that I don't want to pray for my spouse, the first thing you need to do is repent. That's the first thing. And after you repent, the next thing you need to do is pray for your spouse before you pray for anything else. You got it? Because when you come to God, your heart has to be right. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I pray for the health. You know, I pray for I pray for my family. You know, and I got a big family, y'all. I pray for the McIver, Beck, Jones, Williams, Taylor, and Scoggin family, because those are all the last names. You got it, of all my families. You know, when you start, you know, marrying out and taking other names and everything, but they're all one big family. You got it. And so I pray for, you know, I pray for absolutely everybody. And then I pray for you guys. You understand? And then I pray, you know, for my fathers in the faith. I pray for my mom and dad. You got it. I pray for ladies, mom and dad. And then I pray for Bishop and Pastor B. You got it. I pray for all of them. Pray for my AIM organization. Pray for New Light. Pray for all their churches. You understand what I'm saying? I pray for my AIM brothers and sisters. You got it. And so there's like a regiment that I have. And so all I'm saying is, and the reason I'm showing you all this is, I'm getting you to understand that you can't just go to God and pray for you. Does that make sense? That's not what prayer is for. Now, that's part of what prayer is for, but that's not what all prayer is for, all right? And so I pray, you know, I pray for my wife, my kids, for health, for wisdom, for prosperity. I pray for all, and then I pray for my family. I pray for my church family. I pray for my staff. This is why I pray for my staff every day, that they're always joyful and content, that they always have the heart of their pastors, that they never see ministry as a job, but as an opportunity to impact lives. Father, I thank you that you increase, I thank you for increase in their lives and that you're giving them the very desires of their heart. And so, you know, so my thing is, because this is my thing, y'all. Watch this. I'm not just trying to make sure I'm okay in life. I want everybody to be okay. Does that make sense? You know, no, amen. And so no matter if I'm the boss and it's my staff, I don't want, okay, well, the boss is living good, but the staff's living okay. No, I want everybody to live good. You got it. If I'm the pastor and you're the members, I don't want pastor just to be happy and full of joy and walking in prosperity and you not. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's the thing. I'm praying for absolutely everything. And so all you have to do is just sit down, you know, and jot some things down that are important to you and start writing it out. And you will be amazed how the Holy Spirit will help you start putting that together. Does that make sense? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. All right. Y'all getting blessed? Okay, all right. Oh, man, I got so much more to do. So this is the new prayer guide, all right? Nice cover. You got it. Now, if this one is what we call perfect bound, and this one actually has a staple in the middle, it's not because we decided to go the cheap route. It's because there's an area for you to write in this one, so a staple makes you be able to open up all the way. Because, you know, this one, you can't really, well, mine you can now, but you see what happened when you open it up all the way? It starts coming apart. You got it? And so this one has, and I'm excited about this one. This one has what we call lifestyle prayer in it, and that's what I just talked to you about a few minutes ago. Certain time, certain place, certain plan. And then behind that, we have the Lord's Prayer. Everything I talked to you last week is in here. And then after that, we have the Tabernacle Prayer. And I have a picture of the tabernacle in it. You understand what I'm saying? And then it explains everything. The outer court. We're going to do thanksgiving and praise. The brazen altar. We're going to talk about the cross of Jesus. We're going to pray the blood of Jesus. You understand? The laver was for cleansing and preparation. That's the moment when you repent for any sins, known or unknown, asking to wash you and to cleanse you. The candlestick, which was the Holy Spirit. You understand? And so I'm going to show you this on Tuesday night. So you don't want to miss this on Tuesday night. It's real important. And so I'm going to do that. And then we have prayer and scripture devotionals in the back. You got it. And then we have warfare prayers. Everybody say warfare prayers. And so there's warfare prayers that, so we have prayers in here that are not in here. And so now this one we're going to give to everybody. You got it? So we ordered a whole bunch of them. And so in a couple weeks, we're going to give these to everybody. You got it? So, you know, first batch is always free. Praise the Lord. You got to pay for the second batch though. That was funny. You know that was funny. All right. And so, you know, prayer protection, you know, just a lot of things. And then on the back is where you start writing for personal prayer targets. Okay. First thing we have is government, president, national leader, state leader, city leader. Pastor, I don't want to pray for them. That's what's wrong. That's why the country is the way it is, because nobody don't want to pray. You know, I don't like him. The Bible didn't say you pray for somebody because you like him. The Bible said you pray for them because they are in authority. You got it? So, you know, one of the biggest things I pray for all of our leaders, president, you know, vice president, all of our officials, the people I know, and a whole lot of them I don't know, I pray that they have an encounter with God, that they would make godly decisions for the people of God. You understand what I'm saying? That they would be led by the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And so those are the things I pray. And then after that, pray for your family. It says spouse, children, parents, siblings, so you write everybody's name. So I'm really helping you with your prayer regimen. And then your church, your pastor, I be your pastor, being Lady LaCante, you got it? And then for your church family, I know you can't write everybody, but there might be somebody that's just on your heart, you understand, that you want to write down. You put that in there. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right, because I have not really gotten to my lesson, praise the Lord. Then you pray, you know, for my life. What do you mean? Your employer, your coworkers, your employees, teachers, professors, those that I influence. Those are your close friends. Watch this. I love this last one. It's not my last one. I love this one. Those who need God. And watch this. We help you with that one. We're going to tell you. Pray that the Father would draw them to Jesus. Bind the spirit that blinds their mind. Loose the spirit of adoption, sonship. Pray that other believers will cross their paths and enter into positive relationship with them. Loose the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know God better. You understand? And then we got scripture reference behind it. And then after you pray for everybody, and we have a 3 or 4 or 5 pages of journals, then that's when you pray for your needs. Does that make sense? You got it? And so, and there's a place in here, and then there's a place where you put the date that you believe for and then the date that it was answered. Because how many know that your list should always be fresh? Isn't that right? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Means, well, Pastor, this year I was praying for this, 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 and that. You got it? And I done crossed off all of those. You got it? Now I'm believing for some other things. Does that make sense? Oh, man. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, let me see if I can't wrap this up in the next 2 minutes. All right, we got to close, Courtney. We got to get up out of here. Everybody said if he had time. If I had time, I would tell you there are 2 things necessary to satisfy the law of prayer. And that is, number one, it must be in line with the will of God. And number two, it must be spoken. That's what I would do if I had time. Everybody say if he had time. If I had time, I would take you to Mark 11 and 22, and I would go through that whole thing that teaches me that if I say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in my heart, but shall believe that those things, you know, which he said shall come to pass, that I'm going to have whatever I say. But I can't just go to those verses without going to the verse in 25 where it says, when you pray, forgive. And I'll talk a little bit about this on Tuesday along with the tabernacle prayer. Yeah, let's do this. And then I would talk to you about forgiveness and what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. And I would explain the difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness is bestowed, but trust must be earned. Forgiveness is a choice to move beyond your offense. We'll talk a little bit about this on Tuesday night. And a matter of fact, yeah, because I have 10 steps to answer prayer. And so, you know what? It's better instead of me rushing just to give you what I got, then we're going to pick it up on Tuesday night because I don't want to rob you. You got it? And so if someone says, hey, I work, I can't be here, you know it's going to be on the podcast by Wednesday morning and you'll be able to listen to it. So I think that's a good place to stop. I hope you got blessed. I hope you got some good information. Let's give the Lord a big hand praise.